fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. I want to continue today to reflect on some of the themes for this season of Advent and take them from the Catechism, which is so rich. And if you haven't had a chance to, or if you haven't taken the chance to read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I'd encourage you to do it. It is written in a way that pretty much anybody can draw great fruit from it. It's so rooted in the Scripture, and it draws the picture of what's been given to us through Revelation, what's been given to us from the teaching of Jesus through the apostles and the prophets of the Old Testament, and synthesizes it in a way and helps us understand what are the central takeaways we're supposed to have from that revelation. What is it that the church believes? So you can find it if you don't have a copy of it. Just Google the Catechism of the Catholic Church. All kinds of things will pop up. But you can go to Vatican.va as well, and you can click on the Catechism there and read it at any point. I want to talk a little bit today about paragraph 672. We've been kind of making our way through this section of the Catechism. It's talking about the last things, and in particular, the return of the Lord, because Advent is meant to prepare us for the return of the Lord. His coming first in the flesh as the Son of God, which we know we celebrated Christmas, but also his coming into your life and mine. That's a big question for this season. Has he come into your life? Have you let him come into your life? Have you let him all the way in? Or have you let him just get a foot in the door? Have you let the whole Christ take over your whole life? That's the key. That's the key question. Friends, anything but that is complete foolishness. We're so tempted because of the distractions of the world and the indifference that the world has to Christ and the silly kind of constant pumping up the world does of its own goals and its own ideals. And it gets us so distracted as if the things that are happening here, and whether it's Wall Street, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's Main Street, whatever it is, the constant marketing, the constant consuming of ideas and things and all the rest, we're being lied to all the time to say, hey, this is where the action is. Having this, being preoccupied by this, these things, pursuing these things with passion, you know, glory, riches, comfort, your own dreams, your own ideas, your own definition of reality, all of it. That constant pressure to pursue those things as if they're really ultimate, if they're of most value, and then God gets pushed to the secondary, to the tertiary, or what we do is we kind of shape God then according to each of our own purposes. We create our own worldview, we create our own ideas of what our priorities are going to be, and then we conceive of a God who confirms all of that and says yes to it all, and we fit him nicely into it. And it's the kind of God that's not going to disturb or upset the pattern and the plan that we have for ourselves. That's very typical. It's a great temptation. It's idolatry. It's not really Christianity. And so the church is earnest in love for you and for me, and she brings to us the truth. And I think sometimes those who are meant to do that in the church, bishops, priests, and others, sometimes they're tempted to hesitate because they know we may not want to hear it. And so they're tempted to minimize it a little bit, to change the message, to edit the gospel, to present a message that they know won't disturb you. If you're in a parish where you haven't heard anything personally disturbing for more than a year or 6 months, you need to go somewhere else. There really is a temptation, and everybody who teaches the Word of God, to say, let's not upset anybody. And sometimes priests are tempted to say, look, this is the only time I see some of these people on a Sunday. Some of them only come a few times a year. So I don't want to say something that's going to get them upset or cause them to hit the road. I want them to have a positive experience here. I want them to feel loved and welcomed and all that. That's good stuff. But usually what love means in that situation is we have to remove the hard sayings of Jesus. That's a big mistake. That's trusting in our own strength and sort of taking a therapeutic approach to the preaching of the gospel and trying to determine what people can hear and what they can't hear. It's helpful to do a little bit of that, but ultimately, it's failing to trust in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who really is the one, hopefully, who preaches through you and through me or anybody else who's commissioned by God in various ways to proclaim the gospel. The Word of God has power. And yes, the human heart resists some of the teaching of the church or some of the teaching of Jesus, but what's new? One thing we can't do is edit it, because even the hard sayings of Jesus is perfect love. We have to give people the whole Christ so they can see the whole Christ. They can hear the teaching of Christ and conform their whole life to Him. So trust in the Word of God. Trust in the power of God. So paragraph 672. Before His ascension, Christ affirmed that the hour had not yet come for the glorious establishment of the Messianic kingdom awaited by Israel. Israel was waiting upon its Messiah. And much of Israel to this day is still waiting on the Messiah. Lots of Jews have given up on the idea of the Messiah and become secularized, but many Jews still anticipate that. Now, I want to just mention to you, there's an amazing website called I Met Messiah, imetmessiah.com. And it's dozens and dozens of short 5-minute, 6-minute testimonies of Jewish professionals who've come to receive Jesus as the Messiah. I encourage you to go just watch them. And they're really amazing and they're fascinating. They've really encountered the Lord in the beginnings of really the journey, I think, ultimately into the Catholic Church. But it's God's work is beginning there. And it's beautiful and it's inspiring. And so parts of Israel beginning to really be touched by the Messiah and are responding to Him. I mean, throughout history, the history of the church, there's always been a small portion, a percentage of Jews who have come to receive Jesus as the Messiah. But something very special, I think, is happening in our time. So the paragraph goes on. I'll read it again from the beginning. Before His ascension, Christ affirmed that the hour had not yet come for the glorious establishment of the Messianic kingdom awaited by Israel, which, according to the prophets, was to bring all men the definitive order of justice, love, and peace. That's what the Messiah will do. And many Jews who are Orthodox and pursuing, they say, well, how can Jesus be the Messiah? I don't see justice, love, and peace established. And when the Messiah comes, it's going to happen. But it indeed will happen when He comes again in glory. No man is going to be able with some army to rise in some country somewhere to produce what needs to be produced. Because our enemy is not simply flesh and blood. It's satanic powers and forces and the root of sin within us. We need a new heart. We need a new creation. We need the power of God. So that's what the Messiah of God will bring. The paragraph goes on, according to the Lord, the present time is the time of the Spirit and of witness. So here's a good question for us in Advent. What time is it? What time is it? What time is it from God's point of view? What's most urgent? What characterizes the time we live in? Is it a time of financial prosperity? Is it a time of destabilization politically? I mean, those are the things that are often, they often preoccupy our minds and hearts, but they're part of the perspective. But for a disciple has to be clear what the master's perspective is. Again, Advent helps us lay hold of this. So what time is it? The present time is the time of the Spirit and of witness. What does it mean, the time of the Spirit? It's a time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, beginning on Pentecost. Really, it began with Our Lady. We talked about yesterday the special way in which Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and the work of salvation had begun so uniquely in her, in God's action. Really, the gospel being preached to her and then the very good news Himself conceived in her. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, anointing them. Each one of us who've been baptized and confirmed into Christ have been baptized into Him. And St. John Paul II said at one point, every single baptized and confirmed Catholic can look in the mirror and ought to look in the mirror and to be able to say, like Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to give sight to the blind, liberty to captives, to announce the year of the Lord's favor. That is the most precious thing that could ever happen to any human being, that the Spirit of God would come and dwell in him or in her as in a temple. Now think how many times, friends, we want to look in the mirror and say, we see clearly and we want to affirm and want people to recognize other things about us, the great job I've been given, the things I've accomplished in my work, how much money I make, the neighborhood I'm in, the awards I'm receiving, whatever it is, those things are so present in our mind. But friends, they're nothing in comparison to what Christ has done in you. Your glory is not that you belong to some sports team that every year everybody remembers the great state championship or the great national championship or the great world championship or whatever it is that happened 30 years ago. That's a nice thing, and it's wonderful that you can have friends and you remember a special time in your life. But at the end of the day, in all honesty, it doesn't mean much in comparison to what God has done in Christ to those who have said yes to Jesus and been baptized and entered his church. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I mean, what value is to say, looking at you, I'm a champion. You know, I've got a Super Bowl ring. I'm a champion. Fine, great. It's a sport. It's a game. It's not that big of a deal, right? But look in the mirror and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of God has come to me. I have a share in the inheritance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a glory that will last forever. Guess what? Those big diamond rings, Super Bowl rings, they're going to fade away. Our bank accounts are going to fade away. All the Hall of Fames and all the paintings of people and in great halls of great universities and all of it, it's all going to pass away. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. All the glories of this world are going to pass away. They just fade. They have no significance ultimately because the only thing that matters is Christ, what Christ has done, Christ's kingdom, Christ's glory, the work that Christ is doing in you. That's what we ought to boast in. That's what we ought to glory in. That's what we ought to celebrate. That's what we ought to tell people. But for most of us, we're so trapped in the closed vision and the closed perspective and paradigm of this cul-de-sac of the world that we just keep circling in and circling in as if somehow this is where it's all at. It doesn't mean anything. It's all going to pass away. But what Christ gives will never pass away. That's the time of the Spirit and the time of witness. So witness to the glory of Jesus Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what St. Paul said. The paragraph goes on to say, but also this is a time marked by distress, the trial of evil, which does not spare the church and ushers in the struggles of the last days. It is a time of waiting and a time of watching. Are you fighting that battle? Do you even know what's going on? Are you waiting? Are you watching? Are you alert? Do you really know where the gold is and the value is? Are you boasting in something that's worth boasting in? What does your life say? What's the message of your life? That's what this season is all about. Let's take it to heart. Let's let Christ reign in us for his glory. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.